Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
And welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason, watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, if you are looking for a hot tub right now, and I mean immediately, there's only one place to go in town. That is Hot Tub Outlet in Littleton. Right now, they have a huge inventory of hot tubs. They've got two big warehouses filled with hot tubs ready to sell right now. 15 different models. Now, you're probably saying to yourself, why is that a big deal? Every place sells hot tubs. I got news for you. That's not necessarily true. COVID hit the hot tub industry hard, hit the supply chains hard. So if you walk into almost any other hot tub place, they're going to tell you you're going to have to wait, and you might have to wait a while. That's why you need to go to Hot Tub Outlet in Littleton. Don't wait 8 to 12 weeks. Get something right now. Not to mention, they have truckloads of hot tubs delivered every month. And you want quality? They got it. All their hot tubs, U.S. made, and the best insulation by far. Go to Hot Tub Outlet in Littleton or hottuboutletdenver.com right now. Time now for The Lead.
The Lead is presented by Smokin' Dave's Barbecue and Brew, Colorado's best barbecue since 2007. Go get some tonight in Denver, Centennial, Longmont, Lyons, and Estes Park.
All right, quite a scare for the Avalanche today as Jared Bednar did not go to the morning skate. There was an irregularity with his COVID test, so he had to take another one, and apparently, according to multiple reports, everything is just fine. He is going to be on the bench tonight. With that, how do you feel about the Avs winning tonight in Vegas's barn?
I feel surprisingly optimistic about it.
Do you?
Yeah.
All right.
But I can't put my finger on why. This is, you know, I like to be able to quantify what I say. This is nothing more than a gut feeling. A gut feeling that this team is with its backs to the wall for the first time this year, this season, that they're gonna come out metaphorically punching. That we're going to see what we saw from them in the first two periods of Game 5, and that they're not gonna let it slip in the third period. I mean, they've let now two games get away in the third period.
Yep.
Game 3, Game 5.
You can make
that this game's going to be different.
You can make the case that the Avs could have closed out this series by now. They had a 2-1 lead with about 6 minutes to play, right? That was in game
three.
And then in their last game, if Compher buries that goal, I mean, he was standing right in front of the net. If he goes top shelf over the left-hand shoulder of Fleury, the Avs, this series is over.
Yep.
But let me ask you, did you think the Avs would win game 5?
Yes, I did.
Did you think the Nuggets would win last night?
No, I did not.
Okay.
Or no, I did. I did.
So what?
Yesterday, because I changed my mind.
So what good is your gut feeling on this show? You've run out of guts. You're all out of guts.
I didn't say I could predict this stuff very well.
Your gut feeling.
I'm good at analyzing what happened. I just can't see into the future.
As we say,
my gut needs some Pepto-Bismol, obviously.
As we say in Yiddish, you just gave it a kinahora. Your gut feeling is a bad omen. Stop with the gut feelings. Just tell us Vegas is going to win, and maybe it'll switch things around.
Okay, Vegas is going to win. There, you happy now?
Okay, how's the game going to unfold? Because we got to get this out there to the masses. We got to make sure. Just say I retract my gut feeling. Repeat after me.
I'm going to go George Costanza, the opposite of my gut feeling.
Okay.
And so if I...
Don't say gut feeling, because you said gut feeling last time.
Right.
Take that word out of your vocabulary.
I'm doing the opposite, and here is the opposite. That the Knights take an early lead, 1-0. The Avs get a goal back. The Knights gradually choke the life out of the Avs,
yeah.
get a second goal, and then get an empty netter at the end and win 3-1. That's okay. That's me going the Costanza route.
No, because now you're trying to fool the gut gods.
The whole thing of George was that he realized that every instinct he had was wrong.
Right.
So if he did the opposite, it must be right. And then he did the opposite of his instinct. He ends up landing a beautiful girlfriend who sets him up with a job interview with the New York Yankees.
Right.
And then he tells off George Steinbrenner and he says, hire that man. I'm going to take the opposite. You know what my gut feeling was.
Don't use the word.
No.
Stop it. Take the word out of your vocabulary.
You know what my gut feeling was, and now I'm going in the opposite direction of my gut feeling. Okay.
Okay. I need you to repeat after me. Repeat after me, Mace.
I, Andrew Mason,
will no longer.
I'm not going to promise that.
Mace, the hockey gods are listening. Just play along. I, Andrew Mason, will no longer give a gut opinion.
Will no longer give a gut opinion.
About hockey ever again.
About hockey ever again.
That feels good.
Yeah.
That feels good. Okay.
I said it with my fingers crossed.
Did you?
Yeah.
That defeats the whole purpose of what you just said.
I don't want to make a promise I can't keep.
And by the way, when does crossing your fingers, how does that signify anything?
Isn't that the whole thing of like going like kind of saying that you're saying something, but you don't really feel it in your gut?
Nathan MacKinnon, named a finalist for the Hart Trophy, is the most valuable player. He has been invisible in this Vegas series outside of game one. If he doesn't play well tonight, does it take anything away from the Hart nomination?
No, because it's a regular season award.
Okay.
What do you think?
Yes, it does. It does. I'm sorry. I hate to say it. He was great in the St. Louis series. He was great in game one. But the most valuable player needs to show up big.
I mean, the Hart is the regular season, the Conn Smythe Trophy is the playoff MVP.
Oh, okay. Well, then.
So, I mean, they're two separate things.
I understand that. So then it's not that big of a deal that if tomorrow night Jokic goes out there and scores 8 points and grabs 2 rebounds,
it's a big deal and it's frustrating, but it doesn't devalue the accomplishment of what you did in the regular season.
It doesn't devalue it, but at the end of the day, if you're going to be an MVP, ask Connor McDavid. If you're going to be an MVP, who's up for the award, by the way, if you're going to be an MVP, you perform in the playoffs, or for lack of a better phrase, you show up. I guess the question is it something that, because listen, Nathan MacKinnon is as competitive as it gets. You look at what he has done in the playoffs historically, and he's still fourth for most points per game. But in this series, he's been invisible. Landeskog, the captain, has been invisible. Rantanen, who had a golden opportunity to score in the last game, has essentially been invisible outside of game one. Your big players have to show up. And that's what we're going to be talking about if the Avs get bounced. Somehow, some way, they need to find a way. They just do. And I don't know if it means breaking up that top line again like they did in the last game or not. Actually, I'd keep Saad on that line. Saad scored a goal. And by the way, say what you want to about Jared Bednar, and you can be critical of him, and I know there are people who are critical of Michael Malone, but that was a really good move. Newhook went in the lineup, set up Donskoy, and Saad played on the top line and scored a goal.
If there's a reason.
So the two changes netted a pair of goals.
One reason for frustration that the Avs and their fans can have is the fact that Bednar actually pushed all the right buttons and did what he needed to do going into that game. And the Avs played differently. And again, for 50 minutes, it worked beautifully.
I'll tell you, okay, give me one. I had this conversation today with somebody who is on the broadcast team. Okay. And he brought up a great point. Give me one phrase to describe why you believe the Avalanche are down in this series. Because I'll give him credit. He's the one who brought this up, and I was like, you know what? That's a great way to put it.
One phrase?
One phrase, one word, whatever. Why they are down in this series.
they're trying to play beautiful hockey, and Vegas won't let them.
They did last year. They did last year,
but they went away from that in Game Five. That's what gave them a shot.
I think they were trying to be too pretty at times, like on the power play last year, and they were trying to make that extra pass. The Avs have been quite simply less disciplined in their own end, and when the puck has been on their stick, they have been less disciplined. How many penalties? We talk about Vegas and how rough and tough they are, but they can skate with the Avs. They took one penalty in the last game. Outside of that Reaves hit, Vegas isn't taking a lot of penalties, and they are not sloppy in their own zone. They're a veteran team, just like you can make the case the Avs are. But the Avs have not been disciplined specifically in their own end. In the last game, the reason why they gave up the first two goals, they were undisciplined in their own end. Vegas is making them pay for their lack of discipline. They had two mental breakdowns in their own end, and it cost them two goals, period. And another one was on that goal in overtime. It was another mental breakdown. I think it was Graves. It was unnecessary, I think, to take that second shot, if I am mistaken. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly Stone gets behind the defense. Undisciplined hockey. That's what they've been. They've made a couple of undisciplined plays, and it feels like it has cost them every single time.
Well, the other thing you talked about, kind of the how both teams are experienced in the playoffs, but Vegas has just enough guys that have been to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah, I mean, Sod's won a couple of titles, right?
But Vegas has guys that have done it in Vegas that have made it to the finals in Vegas when they got there 3 years ago.
Vegas in the finals?
Yeah, Vegas made the finals. So even though they didn't win it,
right?
You have a team and a culture that has shown that, okay, they know what the roadmap is. The Avs, as talented as they are, as a team here in Colorado, they haven't figured that out yet.
The Avalanche are a freewheeling, fast-skating, physically skilled team. And when you are freewheeling, you tend to make mistakes. You know who else is freewheeling? A quarterback who you refer to as a gunslinger. Big plays, exciting plays, pretty plays.
How many gunslingers have won it all?
Well, Brett Favre did. Yeah. John Elway did.
Not many, though.
If I went through the history of football, gunslingers, I would say that Steve Young could have been considered a gunslinger.
He also was a highly efficient passer.
I understand.
Who eventually avoided.
Well, we don't need to get in.
Right, but that's the thing. Like discipline tends to be rewarded. If you have talent and discipline,
right,
that's the championship equation.
Oh, by the way, Aaron Rodgers is a gunslinger too.
But he avoids mistakes.
I understand that, but he's still a gunslinger. Yeah. You said how many gunslingers have won?
But when we think of a gunslinger, we think of a guy who's just kind of like Brett Favre, throwing it up, taking some risks.
Chucking it up there.
Drew Locke is a gunslinger.
He's never been to Super Bowl.
Unless he bought
a ticket.
But in terms of style,
yeah,
Drew Locke's a gunslinger.
Coming up after the break, speaking of quarterbacks, raise your hand if you want to be in the Packers quarterback room. They just keep adding and adding and adding. And with the more they add, I'm wondering, are they just realizing Aaron Rodgers ain't showing up? That's next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive, Goodman Mason. Watch us at milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. By the way, you can listen to the show 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3. In the meantime, I want to tell you about Denver Exotic Rental Cars. I was just there the other day, and they had this purple Lamborghini that was so stinking cool. And if you want to drive something like a Lamborghini or a McLaren or a Maserati or any great luxury car like that, there's really only one place in town to go, and it's not Avis at the airport. It is Denver Exotic Rental Cars. Plus, they let you take it out, meaning a lot of other places that do this, you kind of have to caravan with everybody else. They're going to give you the keys and say, go have a great time. So, with Father's Day coming up, what a great Father's Day gift this would be, or a birthday present, or a night out on the town, maybe a first date. You need to go to Denver Exotic Rental Cars, go to the garage on their website and see the fleet of cars that you can rent, or give them a call, 720-722-1234, 720-722-1234. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Mighty Plumbing and Heating. Why does Mighty Plumbing and Heating have nearly 155 star reviews? No one has better service and they will meet or beat any written offer. Go to MightyPH.com.
Okay, so in my media career, I've covered the Bills, the Chiefs, the Bears, and the Broncos. And I can't remember a time where any of those teams had five quarterbacks on the roster. Well, the Packers now do have five quarterbacks on the roster. They just signed, and I can't even pronounce his name. I don't even know where he played college.
Jacob Dolagala. He played at Central Connecticut State University. He's a Blue Devil.
Wow. Okay. So, Jake Dolagala.
Yeah.
Is on the roster along with Jordan Love, Blake Bortles.
He was with the Bengals for a cup of coffee a couple of years ago.
And Kurt Benkert. That list is more like a who's that than a who's who. They have five quarterbacks, but clearly they'd rather have a sixth in Aaron Rodgers. Is this kind of a sign that they are throwing cack against the wall and hoping it sticks?
So is Rodgers the fifth quarterback or the sixth quarterback?
Rodgers would be the sixth.
Because they had Bortles, Benkert, Love, and now Dolagala.
Oh, that's that four?
Yeah. And then Rodgers is QB5.
You know, let's start the segment all over again. Okay. And by the way, just so you know, I'm not going
to... So I'm just making sure my math, I'm like, okay, I think they have five in total, including...
And by the way, I'm going to explain this to you and Danny and Nolan right now. I said the word cack, and you're probably thinking, what the hell does that mean?
Well, I think...
Hold on. Don't think. Yeah. Let me tell you.
I have a different meaning, probably.
Cack is a Scottish slang word for something that I cannot say on air.
Okay.
So, you know...
Let me put it in... shouldn't be saying that on air either.
Yeah. I can say that on air.
I thought of it as short for cackalacky, because sometimes people make of... fun of North Carolina and say North Cackalacky or North Cack or South Cackalacky.
I don't think we have a lot of Scottish listeners, so I'll just use it in context. Mm. Nolan, I can't believe you cacked your pants. Now do you know what it means? Let's move on.
Poop. Poop's okay.
I like cack better. I like cack better. So if you hear me say the word cack, you know exactly what it means. With that, is this a sign that they're just moving on from Rodgers?
It's a sign that they're not expecting a training camp, because what this basically, some teams will go in with three quarterbacks. A lot of teams like to have four quarterbacks to get through training camp practices.
Yeah.
That's what, and when I saw that, the first thing that went through my mind was that they do not expect Aaron Rodgers to, at minimum, they don't expect him to report for camp. And so they're just bringing guys to divide up the reps.
Right. You know what? When I look at this quarterback room of these four quarterbacks, Dolagala, Love, Blake Bortles, and Kurt Benkert, it reminds me of the days not too long ago when I looked at the Broncos quarterback room. Like, really? This is who we have. Do you think the Packers fans, when they look at this quarterback room minus Aaron Rodgers, you think they're angrier at the Packers or Rodgers? Because this is just one ugly looking room. This is the worst looking. This might be the worst looking quarterback room, arguably, in NFL history.
That's National Football League.
Yeah. I think they may be slightly angrier at the Packers for this.
Yeah.
And the reason is that, I mean, obviously there's a great unknown on Jordan Love, but there are young quarterbacks that can engender confidence. But the problem is with the Packers right now, when they have drafted quarterbacks, since they drafted Aaron Rodgers, they've used some reasonably high picks on quarterbacks over the last 13 years or so. The year that Aaron Rodgers became the starter, they drafted Brian Brohm out of Louisville in the second round.
But he was a second-round pick.
Right. He was second-round pick. And then a few years later, they drafted, I believe it was in round three, but a guy who went into his final campaign at UCLA regarded as a likely first-rounder, Brett Hundley. Remember him?
I do.
And now they have Jordan Love, and the reports on Jordan Love.
One great day, one bad day.
Right. The early returns, again, very early, are shaky. Put it this way. You're not hearing Jordan Love spoken of for his practice capability the way that Patrick Mahomes was. Remember?
Well, that's not fair.
No, but that's remember, not, that's it's not fair. Yeah, but that's remember, but with quarterbacks, like even if they're sitting on the bench that first year, usually if they're worth something, you hear a buzz about it. Because, like, oh, like in the locker room, like, oh, this guy's got something, you know. And there was nothing like that regarding Jordan Love last year. There is nothing like that regarding Jordan Love for the Packers at this point. So if you're a Green Bay fan, you're looking at this and saying they keep whiffing on quarterbacks that they bring in. Jordan Love, the reports are shaky at best. I think you're upset with Rodgers, but you're a little madder at the Packers right now because they're not showing an acumen for finding quarterbacks to bring in that room.
When I covered the Buffalo Bills, I got there the year after their final Super Bowl. And I remember the overriding feeling in Buffalo was, I don't know if we really want to go to the Super Bowl again after four consecutive beatdowns. Well, with what has happened over the last 4 days and five of the last six, all losses by the Avalanche and the Nuggets, are you really eager to watch the Avs or the Nuggets? Are you? We'll talk about that next. Are you the answer? I sure wonder. When I feel you with my appetite. With all the
well, I don't know why I came here tonight. I got the feeling that something ain't right. I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason, watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending? Presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
When the Broncos went to three Super Bowls in the 1980s with John Elway, I am guessing for Broncos fans, each loss felt worse than the last because, honestly, each score was progressively worse, capping it off with a loss to the Niners 55-10. And I'm guessing the following season, Broncos fans were a little skittish, thinking, yeah, we want to go to the Super Bowl, but do we really want to go because of what has happened in the past? Let's look at what has happened here in Denver over the last 6 days. Over the last 6 days, we have had five losses. It's so great to be able to have a game pretty much every day, but it's kind of like you're getting beaten down. You get excited for the game, and then the Nuggets get blown out. And you're excited for the game, and the Nuggets get blown out. You know, at the end of the day, both the Avs and the Nuggets got out of the first round of the playoffs, which is fantastic. But then you have the Avalanche, all the excitement of game one. And then the excitement of game two when they got outplayed. But games three and four were ugly. Ugly, 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 specifically game four. And then you had that huge letdown in overtime less than a minute in. With that, all these games in so many days, and each one feels terrible. Are you kind of looking forward to tonight's game? Enough said.
Yeah.
Are you? Danny, are you?
There's a little bit of dread.
Are you looking forward to tonight's game?
No. I was looking forward to game five quite a bit.
Right.
I had fun watching the first two periods, and yeah, this one, it's tough, especially after the Nuggets added to it.
Right. I mean, you were excited for game three for the Avalanche because they were up 2-0, right?
Oh, yeah.
Excited for that game. And then you're thinking 6 minutes to go, we might steal one. And you're kind of excited for game four because you're thinking, you know what? If they steal one, we can clinch it at home. And then it's tied at two and you're thinking, hey, they're coming home. They haven't lost at home since 1973. And they're going to go back to Vegas. And at worst case scenario, it's game seven, right? That's what you're thinking. I talked to a friend of mine who's on the broadcast team for the Avalanche. And I said, are you looking forward to the game tonight? And he goes, not really. He goes, I'll get up for the game, but not really. Because I'm tired of being disappointed. It's kind of like Charlie Brown getting the ball pulled from him by Lucy again and again and again.
That's the perfect analogy. And that's sort of what it feels like when they start adding up. And even though they're separate teams, when you have the loss, when it's like every other night, it's been almost perfect every other night with these teams. And it's just one after another after another. See, we have, in just 1 week, Denver sports fans have gone from being optimistic and expecting things to go right to now being on vigilance for the banana peel. Like,
right.
Or the Sideshow Bob thing from The Simpsons where he keeps stepping on the rakes. We're going to step on another rake tonight?
Right.
That's what you're expecting
right.
After the last five.
You look at the first round against St. Louis, and they just threw the Blues into a wood chipper. So you're thinking, man, I can't wait to get a piece of Vegas. I know they're really, really good. And then game one, wow, holy cow, we're just going to cruise. I mean, this team goes on a 6-game winning streak to start the playoffs. You're thinking they're not going to be stopped. And then you look at the Nuggets, and they wind up polishing off Dame Lillard in 6 games, and in one of those games, Dame Lillard goes for 55. We're feeling really good out here. I'll tell you the feeling I get, and I've only had this one time as a fan, for lack of a better phrase. I grew up a Cubs fan, and in 2003, the Cubs were up 3-2, and I was at game six, or at least I was in Wrigleyville for game six, and the Cubs are up 3-1 with one out in the eighth inning. And that was the Steve Bartman game. And the Cubs lost, and they, you know, hadn't won a World Series since 1908. And I can tell you, there wasn't one person in the city of Chicago after the Cubs lost game six, there wasn't one Cubs fan looking forward to game seven. Not one.
Not.
Because we all knew somehow, some way, we would find a way to lose. And people forget, in that game, the Cubs had a lead in game seven. And conveniently found a way to blow that one.
Kind of like the Mets after, or the Red Sox after Bill Buckner in 1986.
Right.
Let it go through. It's like, legs, there's a rain delay. The Red Sox were winning game seven
right
in the sixth inning. But even then, kind of like the Cubs in that game seven against the Marlins, after what had happened, you're just, you're not enjoying it. It's like, okay, when is the booby trap going to pop up? When are we going to walk on the landmine?
The sports fans in this city, even if you lean more towards the Nuggets than the Avalanche, you're still probably following the Avalanche anyway. After everything that has happened in the last 6 days, 5 losses, we need this. Yeah. And I don't ever use the word we. Media members, we need this. Fans, we need this. The team, we need this.
Media
we
members do. Radio people need this.
Everybody does.
Because, let's face it, the shows have been very easy to produce with the Avs and Nuggets going every night. There's always,
I don't even mean it that way.
When
it's been depressing.
Right. But it's a fun show to do when you have teams that are contending for championships and are making playoff runs. It's fun. It's an absolute blast. We don't want to come in and dissect the latest defeat.
Right.
It's fun to talk about why things are going well. It's fun to be excited or to say, okay, it's going well, but here's how it could get just this little bit better.
You know what? There's a great phrase, and I'm taking it certainly out of context, but everybody wants to live to fight another day.
Yeah.
And tonight, the Avs might not be fighting another day, which is Saturday. I want to watch a game on Saturday. I do.
I do too.
But, you know, it is what it is. And I can tell you right now, if Vegas bolts out to a 2-0 lead, Twitter is going to explode.
People are
going to
feel like the game is over at 2-0.
Well, it might be.
1-0.
Well, it might be.
1-0, it's going to be a panic. 2-0, people are going to be like, I can't watch this anymore. They're going to go turn off the TV, watch Netflix or something.
I mean, what would be worse? The Avs lose a close one in overtime or they get blown out. What would be worse?
Close in overtime.
That in the psyche?
Yes. That's the gut punch. The sudden end. Because at that point, you get to overtime, there's hope. It's like, okay, especially in hockey.
Yeah, right.
It's like a lot of overtime games are won or lost by somebody making a mistake out of fatigue.
Yep.
And you have that hope that even though the last three games haven't gone your way, that you're going to get that random bounce of the puck, and then just like that, it's going to be over. And you're going to win. And that's what it's flimsy, but that's still hope. And it would be, and if it's going into overtime, then to some degree that hope has been restored.
I'll tell you right now, if this game goes to overtime, I think you're going to hear a collective thud as everybody cacks their pants.
Duh!
I'm serious. That's what it's going to feel like.
They're not
going
to make it to the bathroom then, huh?
Because the expectations have been so high for this team all year. This game goes to overtime, you know, any small mistake.
Right.
And this team has been prone to not being as disciplined as they need to be in their own end. Mm-hmm. The emotions will be at an apex.
You know what the weird thing is, though? I was thinking about this when I was driving down. That almost every team that ever won a championship had a moment where they got pushed to the brink, pushed to the limit, right?
Oh, you're trying to be positive, aren't you?
Yes, I am. That, and I hate to use this, I'm going to go back to gut. I'm not going on gut feeling.
Don't use that word.
But if the Avs win tonight and get out of this, there is a chance that in several weeks we're looking at this moment as the gut check that they passed.
Okay. Danny, to both.
I can't believe it. I am not an optimist. I am optimistic about tonight.
Okay. I'm going to ask both of you. What would you rather have? The Avs lose tonight or they lose in overtime in Game 7? What would you rather have? You want the bullet to the forehead and it's over, or do you want them to slowly chop off your arms until you hemorrhage to death?
I would take a Game 7 overtime loss over losing tonight just for the sake of having one more game.
You mean
but
like,
they're going to have another series.
You mean like last year?
Sure.
Yeah. Game 7.
One more game for the fans at Ball Arena.
Because you know what? If you win tonight, if you win tonight's game, then at least this team showed they can bounce back from elimination. What do we have coming up on Masterpiece Roofing, just in case you missed it?
The NBA Defensive Player of the Year has been announced. Also, a crazy MLB stat that I came across earlier. All that on the other side right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us. MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to RMFP.com. Time now for the final word.
The final word is presented by the McKenzie Law Firm. Don't wait before it's too late. Protect your family by setting up a will, living will, or estate plan with Dan McKenzie at themckenziefirm.com. Just in case you missed it, is presented by Masterpiece Roofing. Find out how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. Call 720-242-6404 or go to MasterpieceRoofing.com today.
Just in case you missed it, Rudy Gobert has been named the NBA's Defensive Player of the Year for the third time in his career. He joins Dikembe Mutombo, Ben Wallace, and Dwight Howard as three-time winners of the award. Who was the Nuggets' best defender all season long?
Aaron Gordon.
Yeah. I mean, not all season, because since he didn't come in until two-thirds of the way through, but he was that defensive upgrade that I think it was apparent even as we saw Plumlee and Grant leaving free agency, thought, okay, they might need to have a defensive upgrade coming in the deadline, and Gordon provided that.
Who was the best defensive player all season? Well, they wouldn't have needed Aaron Gordon if there was an answer to that.
Yeah.
Fair point, just in case you missed it. Crazy, interesting, I'll leave the adjective up to our listeners, but a very weird MLB stat that I came across today. The Colorado Rockies, LA Dodgers, and San Diego Padres earlier today all tied at ninth in the MLB with 493 hits. However, the Rockies trail the Dodgers by 12 games and the Padres by 11 games. Your thoughts on the disparity there between hits and wins?
Well, hits don't become runs necessarily. So you can get a lot of guys. If you leave the bases loaded all the time, you might have a lot of hits. You might have a lot of walks, right? But it's about getting those runs across and how to hit with runners in scoring position. Also, you could say, well, the pitching isn't very good either.
Well, the other thing is also, you look where they are, and it's the pitching, but also the Rockies are next to last in Major League Baseball with 53 home runs coming into today. Only the Pirates have fewer home runs. Meanwhile, the Dodgers, they have 75. They rank 11th. The Padres, 63. They rank 21st. So that is another, that right there also shows that the Rockies don't have the power, don't bring the thump the way that those other teams do. It's a pretty similar story when it comes to, or not a similar story when it comes to slugging percentage. The Rockies are getting some extra base hits, but they're not getting home runs, and that's the name of the game today.
Yeah, second to last in home runs. That's just about all I needed to hear or see when I looked at the rest of the batting stats. Trevor Story back in the lineup tonight for the Rockies. The Rockies are currently getting their butts kicked by the Marlins pretty early on. And Story, however, is back in the lineup after being on that IL for a while. What have you seen from Story so far this year, and has he hurt or helped his trade value if the Rockies are moving in that direction?
The only thing that could, unless he was just in the tank, it would take a long injury to really hurt his trade value. He's, you know, he has been, you know, for the most part, his usual self. I don't think that anything he's done on the field so far, I don't think he's helped his trade value. I don't think he's hurt. I don't think he's hurt his trade value either. I mean, he's just, you know, he's having a pretty solid season.
Look at Nolan Arenado last year. Did that really hurt him? Now, granted, the Rockies didn't get anything in return.
Yeah.
I'll be the first one to tell you that. Everyone is entitled to have a season that isn't very good.
And Story's average is down.
Right. No, he is not playing as well as he usually plays. I don't think any reasonable person would argue that, but I don't think it's really going to hurt his trade value that much, because change of scenery, playing with a winning team, you can make the case, well, he is going to be better when he goes someplace else. But five home runs?
Yeah.
That's 23 RBI?
The home run number is concerning, but
255. He's not having a bad season. He's having a terrible season by his
standards, but also you would worry if he was hitting like 200. When you talk 255 in a year where batting average is down, offensive numbers are down, he's in the range where you can attribute it to factors, you know, like the baseball, perhaps we talked about earlier, and also the fact that he doesn't have much protection in the lineup right now.
Let's put it this way. As far as I'm going to take away last season, because that was a shortened season, he's having the worst season of his career. In terms of batting average, he's only hitting, he's hitting 255 right now. In 2017, he had 239, but he had 24 home runs and 82 RBI. Right now, he has 5 home runs and 23, right? As far as on-base percentage, in 2017, it was 308. Right now, it's 322. But by most metrics, he's having the worst season of his career. By far. His WAR is 0.5. The lowest he ever had was 2.1 or 2.6.
He's on pace. He's on pace for the WAR to be 1.5.
We'll see.
But I think you can also look at what he's doing.
Still the worst of his career.
Yeah, you can look at what he's doing and say, okay, he's not, like I said, not getting any protection in the lineup and offensive right. numbers being down around MLB. So I don't think he's hurt his trade value appreciably.
All right, that was Masterpiece Roofing. Just in case you missed it, it is hail season. I think the people who live in Falcon and Colorado Springs and Castle Rock can attest to that. And I'm guessing their roofs are damaged. And, you know, if you live out there, my suggestion is you call Masterpiece Roofing for sure. They were recently voted Denver's best roofing company. But when hail comes here, make sure you call Masterpiece Roofing for another reason. If you call for a free inspection, they can show you how they can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. They specialize in that type of stuff. So whether it's roofing, painting, gutters, windows, or siding, Masterpiece does it all. Go to MasterpieceRoofing.com. Nolan, great job today. Same with you, Danny. Mace, you're taking the day off tomorrow, I should say. Michael Spencer from CBS4 will be joining me in studio tomorrow. Make it the best possible night you can.